And we have a new clock system going on. It's going to count down for 40 minutes instead of showing in real time.
Gotcha.
You can start at 8 o'clock.
Thank you so much. You don't have it?
I don't know what's going on with this crazy thing.
That's okay.
Just give me a second. Just keep going.
Yeah, we got it. We do what we do. That's what I said.
I'm going to keep working.
I better make sure. Well, let's see. How much that battery say it got in there? About 10%. Here you go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Which one you?
Huh?
Wait. All right. Which one of those you?
Right here. Got it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sending it again. Well, that's the send button on
it. Yeah. Somebody's going to stop him. It's not going to come on to him.
Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir.
Glory to God. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he accomplished on our behalf. We thank you that when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. You say he gave unto us the apostle. We thank you for our apostle. The first gift that Jesus set in the church, the first gift that Jesus gave, the first one that God set in the church. We thank you for the apostolic call and the apostolic anointing upon his life. We thank you for the school of ministry. We're not here for book knowledge and Bible knowledge. We're here to learn about the ways of God and how to live a supernatural lifestyle and how to function in the realm of the spirit. So we thank you for our apostle laying that foundation in our lives and teaching us. So may all of these classes constantly and continually piggyback on what he's sharing so that we all can grow. And we thank you for the greatest teacher of all, God the Holy Spirit. Now I ask that you would anoint the students here and online, anoint their eyes to see, their ears to hear, and their heart to believe. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Way of review. How many of y'all know what the prophetic flow is? The prophetic flow. The prophetic flow is flowing accurately in the supernatural realm, which is the realm of the spirit. Amen. The second thing it is flowing accurately in the Holy Ghost, and is flowing accurately in revelation knowledge. I need you to remember that. Those three things. That is the prophetic flow. We talked about there's a now generation. There's a generation that's untrained and unskilled, and they have a desire to function in the supernatural. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that apostles said that God told him to establish this school is so that we could see the Spirit of God come up on him and cause him to function in the way that he do. He teaches us to be aware of our insufficiencies, our weaknesses, and our inadequacies. Don't be afraid to stumble around, because you're not depending on you. Yeah. You're depending on the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's supernatural ministry. So yeah, I want you to remember that. So the prophetic flow is flowing accurately in the supernatural realm, mm-hmm, or the realm of the Spirit, flowing accurately in the Holy Ghost, and flowing accurately in what? Revelation knowledge. One of the things we also said was that discerning of spirits. See, that has to do with the what? Realm of the supernatural. Discerning of spirits is what? Important to all of us to build in the realm of the Spirit. You have to have discerning of spirits. You have to know the difference between the authentic and the counterfeit. See, they got a lot of people call themselves apostles. The book of Revelation, Jesus said there were some who called themselves apostles. You tried them, you proved them, and found out they were not. I don't see enough of that in the church. We have too many cards being passed out. The card can't mimic the gift.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You can't just get a card and think that's going to work. It might have all of the colors of the Star Spangled Banner, but it ain't going to work. All right. We also said that the prophecy gate opens up all the other gifts of the Spirit. The prophecy gift to us. You got it? Therefore, watch this. See, the prophecy gift opens up to us all of the other gifts. Therefore, being filled with the Spirit is not an option. It's a must. It's a what? It's a must. Now, that's why we're taking time, or we have taken the time, as elementary as it sounds. That's why we've taken the time to teach you the difference between being born of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit. Now, when we say born of the Spirit, we're talking about conception and birth. We went over that, right? Conception and birth. The next thing we talked about was what? The indwelling presence. The indwelling presence is the well. It bespeaks God's presence. And then we just heard apostle say it also bespeaks presence, character, fruit. Amen. He's the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit. So we can't be holy without the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So, and then we closed out talking about being filled with the Spirit, which I didn't get as much in. I'm going to give you a little bit more tonight. Being filled with the Spirit is important to every believer. It was so important, in fact, that Jesus trained those men for 3 years and then emphatically told them, don't you leave. Don't do no form of ministry until you be endued or endowed with power from on high. All right. So being filled with the Spirit, amen, bespeaks the overflowing. Now watch this. They all work hand in hand. You got to be born of the Spirit. You have the presence of the indwelling Spirit, which leads to the river, the overflowing Spirit, which is for power. Amen. Which power and accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. All right. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, or the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Y'all got it? And fire is when the well overflows. All right? So turn in your Bibles to, let's go through some, and I say it bespeaks the flowing Spirit. See, flowing in the Spirit is a flow. And because it's a flow, watch what I'm saying. Because it's a flow, there can be no set patterns.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah. See, it's flowing. You can't box the Holy Spirit in.
That's right.
And because it's flowing, there's no stagnation. So anything that's stagnant, and anything that's not constantly moving, come on, it's not born of the Spirit.
Right,
it's not remaining connected to the Spirit.
Right.
Y'all follow with me? And watch this. Because it's a flow, there's no limitation.
No limitation.
You can't stop a flow.
Right.
Y'all understand that?
Yes,
okay. You got that? Huh? Okay. See, these things okay, but they'll go out on you. Amen. All right. Now, okay, well, I'll stick with this one. This one it pop out. Notice again that in being born of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, all talks about the Spirit of God, what? Coming up on you.
Yes,
amen. It's preceded by the Spirit of God coming up on you. Even in the book of Genesis, before God did anything, the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and then the Holy Spirit, and then God spoke and the Holy Spirit moved.
Yep.
That same pattern or that same way of functioning is here today.
Yes,
all right?
Yes,
now, let us turn in our Bibles to Acts 2:4. Come on. Now, y'all write these scriptures down. Luke 24:49. Luke 24:49. Y'all remember Jesus told them, don't y'all, Jesus said, turn to it. Yeah, hurry up real quick. Luke 24:49. When you get to it, read. We don't have all night tonight. Read. Luke 24:49.
And behold, I send
the promise of my Father
upon you.
Notice what he said. Behold, I send the promise of my Father where?
Upon you.
Read.
But tarry
in the city of Jerusalem.
Until you be endued
with power on high. St. John chapter number 7. Come on. St. John chapter number 7, verse 37 through 39. And St. John chapter 4, remember Jesus met the woman at the well.
Yes, sir.
And you remember the woman, Jesus said, give me some water.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said, she started talking about how great the well was.
Right.
And remember I told you, Jesus said, now listen, woman, I didn't come to talk about your water.
Right.
But I got some water I'm going to give you that if you drink, you'll never thirst.
Right.
That's talking about being born of the Spirit and the indwelling Spirit. Because the Bible in Romans 8:9-11 say, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you have none of his.
Right.
So most people think they get all of the Holy Spirit in the new birth or being born of the Spirit. But baby, you just got the indwelling presence. It's time for you to go to another level.
Yes, sir.
So in St. John chapter 7, see the Bible got to be ministered. People got to understand what the scriptures say.
Yeah.
So St. John 7, verse 37 through 39, I need somebody to read it real quick. What did it say?
In that last day,
that great day of the feast,
Jesus stood and cried
saying,
if any man thirst,
notice what he said, if any man thirst,
let him come unto me
and drink.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said,
out of his belly
shall flow rivers of living water.
So notice he went from a well to a river. But the Bible say this spake he. This spake he of what?
The Spirit.
Which they that believe on him. All right. So everybody that just you believe on Jesus, you qualified to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts 2, you know, Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Now, that word witnesses, I know y'all like to go around and talk. But that word there, witness, is not talking about going around and talk. It's literally talking about becoming a martyr, somebody who's willing to die for what you believe. Hello, somebody. I ain't just here to talk and tell you. I'm willing to die for this. All right. Now, remember, Peter said, Lord, I'll die. But he ain't had the Holy Ghost.
All right.
Hello. He said, Jesus, let's go. I'm ready to fight. I'd die for you. He said that without who? The Holy Ghost. Hello, somebody. He wasn't empowered yet. He couldn't do it in his own strength. But once you get filled and you get properly connected and you spend intimacy with God and you begin to, watch this, mature and get perfected in the spirit, you'll be willing to die for him. Amen. All right. So in Acts chapter number 2, I don't want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, but y'all remember that's when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And the Bible says they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Huh? And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. And they were all filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That's the river starting to flow. Now, now, to show you that there's no set pattern. See, people have all these patterns they want you to set. There is no set pattern. Are you listening to me? Because, you know, the movement of the Spirit in the realm of the supernatural, you can't be trying to predict how God's going to do something. Right. Just got to let him do it. Yeah. All right. So in Acts chapter 2, you know, they were filled. They spoke in other tongues. Right. In Acts chapter 4, after the notable miracle was done, where they raised up that man at the gate called the Beautiful Gate, they had to give an explanation. How did they do it? Right. So the people called him on the carpet. Amen. Was going to whip him, put him in jail, and told him don't preach or teach in his name. All right. The Bible says when Peter and John was let go to their own company, they went prayed again. Acts chapter 4. What did they pray? The Bible said when they began to pray once again, that place was shaken. Yes. And watch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, watch what I'm about to tell you. Why does the Bible say that? Because being filled is not a one-time experience. It's to show you that it's a constant flowing. That's why Paul said in the 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, we'll get there. Matter of fact, put that down as your homework assignment, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We're going to go there. But Paul said, I speak with tongues more than all of you. Well, I wonder when Paul started speaking in tongues. I would suppose it was when Ananias went laid hands on him and Ananias say, Saul, the Lord told me to come lay hands on you so that your blinded eyes could be open and you could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm establishing the fact that when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence, the proof is you talk in tongues. Okay. And you can't get around it. There's no crying, no weeping. You can do all of that. But at the end of the day, the only proof we have is that you speak in tongues. See, because remember the prophecy gate. This opens up the whole realm to you. Praying in the spirit, building up yourselves, Jude 20, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I will pray with my understanding. That's English. But he said, I will also pray with the spirit. See, when you speak in an unknown tongue or when you pray in an unknown, the Bible says when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're not talking to men. They can't understand you because you're talking in a language unknown to them and unknown to you. Howbeit in the spirit, you speak mysteries. So Paul said, I will pray with my understanding and I'll pray with the spirit. See, people have to quit fighting. Don't fight the supernatural. Cooperate with it. You don't speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you ain't filled yet. And you can get filled tonight. You say, what you mean you get filled tonight? Well, you know, I told you there's no set pattern. You see, in Acts chapter 2, they were gathered in the upper room waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now you got Acts chapter number 10. You write down a reference. Acts chapter number 10. Amen. Acts chapter number 10. get this scripture down for you. Oh, gee. It's around the 34th verse. Y'all know when the Holy Spirit sent those men to Peter. Amen. Acts 10, 34 through 48. We don't have time to read all of that one. I say we don't have time to read all of that one. Yes. But here's something significant that you need to understand. Here's the first Gentile converts that the Holy Spirit sends Peter, who is, watch this, the chief apostle to the Jews. And it was unlawful for a Jew to even keep company with a Gentile. But the Holy Ghost told Peter, what I clean, don't you call unclean. I'm about to do something that's going to blow all of the Jews' mind because y'all wasn't paying attention in class. Jesus said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. The Bible says that Jesus would take of two men, a Jew and a Gentile, and make one new man in himself, breaking down the middle wall of partition that existed between them. And so much that I know the Jews ain't gonna like this. If you a Jew and you listening to me, you ain't gonna like what I'm about to say. But the Bible says that the Gentiles have the exact same access that you have. We need to know that, because we always trying to separate. Ain't nobody in Christ. There's neither male nor female. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. In Christ, there's neither bond nor free. We're all one in him. And that's why apostolic government is so important, because in following apostle, one of the things I notice is that he is not trying to exalt himself above, but he understands according to rank, he is above. So, well, you can't call yourself an apostle if you don't want the responsibility. Because some folk ain't going to like you being the chief one. The prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher, they have to learn to submit to these, to the apostle. If you're going to grow and develop, you need one in your life. All right. Now, in Acts chapter 10, all right. So, you know, God sends Peter to Cornelius' house. Amen. All right. Now, as he is preaching, the Bible says, as Peter is preaching, what is he preaching? He preaching about Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. Now, notice what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost fell. What verse is that? Verse 24. Verse 44. Acts 10, 44. I want you to look at it. What it says. While Peter yet spake.
These words.
The Holy Ghost fell. Hold up. The Holy Ghost came upon. Same difference. The Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost came upon. Listen.
All them which heard.
Wait a minute. Not some of them. Everybody that Cornelius had in the house. See, he called his kinfolk. He called his relative. He called everybody. I believe the dog, the cat, and the rat was up in there. He gathered everybody. I'm just trying to help you out. I'm trying to show you that your denomination don't qualify you not to receive. I don't care if you're Baptist, Catholic. I don't care if you're first African-American, AME. I don't care what it is. I don't care what label. Because remember, I teach this. I have to say it. A label doesn't define the contents. But the content defines the label. So don't give me a mayo jar full of sugar and tell me it's sugar, or tell me it's mayo when I see it's sugar. Don't come telling me you're an apostle by label, but you don't have no goods. That's all apostle is saying. We got to drop these titles and have some proofs. And just because you prophesy don't mean you are a prophet. So don't let people fool. Girl, you're a prophet. You're a prophet nothing. About to get yourself in trouble. Leave that stuff alone. The head of the church is the only one can give you a gift. Never forget it. A man can't see you and put hands on you and say, thus said, you know, you're an apostle. If God ain't appeared to you, leave it alone. He's going to make you go up a tree you shouldn't. Like Zacchaeus, you might hang. All right, come on. Acts 10:44. What does it say? Acts 10:44. Read what it say.
While Peter yet
spake these words,
the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them. Which heard the word.
If you're hearing me tonight, the same Holy Ghost can fall on you tonight. All you have to tell God is yes to your will, yes to your way. Read what it say.
And they of the circumcision.
And they of the circumcision.
Which believed.
They of the circumcision which believed on the Lord Jesus. And the same way that these Gentiles are believing were astonished. Why they were astonished? Because they were prejudiced. That's why. They were like some of these people in 2016. See, I can say I got to tell the truth about it. See, God is the oppressor. The oppressor is being challenged today. All the spirit of oppression that's been lording it over God's people is over. That day is over. There are no superior races. Scratch it. President Obama getting out, but God ain't stopping.
That's right.
It was God who raised him up. Come on. They got some white churches who didn't want to even pray for him.
Right. That's right.
And call himself spirit filled.
Right. Come on.
They started praying for the nation and not for the president.
Come on. Come on.
That's the spirit of this age.
Yes, sir.
They don't want to train their people.
Right.
See, but there's not black nor white, but we got to deal in reality and in truth. Somebody got to slap this monkey. And deal with it, because see, the spirit doesn't move by color. The spirit doesn't move by a superior race. There are none. Now listen, even the Jews thought they were superior.
Yes, sir.
To Gentiles. All the Bible say about a Gentile is he's in the world without God. He's a heathen. That's what it means to be a Gentile or a heathen. You're in the world without a covenant, with no connection and no relationship to God.
Yes, sir. Wow.
When we are born into this royal family, we all qualify to be treated royally. That's why the Bible says you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. This is for the whole family. Oh, Lord Jesus. The Bible says the whole family who in heaven and earth. Hello. That's the Bible. Now, that's by the Spirit. See, we got to get rid of all this. The Holy Spirit ain't going in all this. Okay. Now, Peter, why he spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them all. They of the circumcision were astonished. Why were they astonished? Read. As many of those who came with Peter. Because that on the Gentiles
also
was poured out
the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Read. Oh, wait a minute. They needed some proof, some evidence that a spiritual transaction had taken place. They believed, so they were born of the Spirit. They believed, so they had the indwelling Spirit. But they were not yet filled with the Spirit until he fell on them. And what they were astonished because they heard them what? They heard them speak with what? And do what?
And
they heard. All right. Now, watch this. Come on. I got to teach y'all up here. Even in college, they tell you have some deductive reasoning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You ought to be able to figure something out by watching something else. All right. Now, what make you think Jesus didn't speak in tongues? Just because the Bible don't say Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues, you mean to tell me you don't think Jesus spoke with tongues?
Come on.
You better read your Bible.
Right.
When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you think all he kept praying was, Father, not your will, thy will be done? No, Jesus was groaning in the Spirit. Jesus was praying in the Spirit. Jesus was building himself up. Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go get nailed to a tree. I can't do this on my own. I got to have a supernatural strength. I got to have something on the inside of me that got me.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says when Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus, I don't know why people talking about Jesus cried because his friend died. Really? Jesus, this is comical.
Right.
Why is Jesus going to go to the grave and cry talking about his friend died right. when he stayed an extra day to make sure his friend was dead?
Right.
He stayed an extra day to make sure that they couldn't deny this time. You see, on the fourth day, your body begins to rot and go back to the earth. But the Bible talks about the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit can quicken a rotting body, what can the Holy Spirit do with your sickness, with your disease? Whatever whatever mountain you're facing tonight, this is the spirit of apostle. Whatever challenge you're facing tonight, you have access to the spirit realm. And with the Holy Spirit, nothing becomes impossible. But we got to quit talking it. Now listen, when you're in the place of needing a miracle, you got to quit whining. The church say, we won't see signs. We won't see wonders. We won't see miracles. You might be the sign and the wonder and the miracle, but you can't cry when your day comes. If the doctor say you got cancer, so what? Lazarus died. See, we're talking about the supernatural here. Apostles say we have access to the supernatural, where nothing is impossible. Everything happens in the realm of the sea. In the supernatural, God is a show off. So God told Jesus, wait one more day. Don't get him up on the third day. Wait till the fourth day. He show up at the gravesite and he ain't weeping. The Bible says he groaned. I believe that groaning in spirit was the same Romans 8:26 groaning. Groaning. Turn Romans 8:26. We're talking about the realm of the spirit here. You cannot access the realm of the spirit without the Holy Ghost. Now, let me give you some more inside information for all the spiritual people. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to prophesy, though.
That's right.
Oh, now, wait up, Reverend. Hold up, wait, time out. Oh, see, y'all got everything all mixed up. They were prophesying in the Old Testament.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, Saul was called to be a king, but when Saul got amongst the prophets, he began to prophesy. Because, see, the spirit of prophecy, see, when you're around a bunch of spirit-filled believers. Now, I'm going to talk to y'all up here tonight. That's because, see, this is where this class is going. Every single one of you, I don't care where you are in life, every single one of you who are born of God, who love God, at any moment, the spirit of prophecy can come upon you when you have harmonious conditions. When the atmosphere is right.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how some of y'all don't be around. Sometime when I'm around apostle, I don't know if my hair moving. I don't know if my hair gone or I'm growing something back where the man took it from when I was a kid. Because my body tingles when I'm around him. I know he full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
he teaches us to pray in the spirit. I remember one time going up to the altar. I'm talking about the anointing now.
Yes.
I'm talking about the supernatural.
Yes,
I'm talking about the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
I remember going up there to hold on to his pants leg, talking about pulling his pants leg down, you know, to make it fit right on the shoe. But when I grabbed the pants, something grabbed me.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and power. The woman with the issue of blood.
Yes, sir.
Hold up. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Time out. The power of the H-E-M came from the H-I-M. See, the hem was on him. And what was on him went into the H-E-M. And when she touched the H-E-M, the H-I-M got in her. And she was immediately cured, made whole. Now, made whole don't just mean dealing with that sickness. It meant everything in her life that was broken and missing was restored. Watch this. Back to its original condition. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So you see, we y'all spirit-filled people take this for granted, but there are thousands and millions of people who are desiring to see more of God, but you ain't gonna see more until you accept the supernatural. So those Jews were convinced because they say, we heard them speak with tongues, watch this, just like we did, and magnify God. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They spoke in tongues and they magnified God. They spoke the wonderful works of God in a language that was unknown to them, but was known to all of the folk that was out there gathered. Now hold up here. Y'all need to, y'all, I'm talking about the supernatural. See, in Genesis 11, you need to connect Genesis 11 with Acts 2. Because, see, when you get into the realm of the Spirit, see, in Genesis 11, God said, man, these folk got one language.
Yes, sir.
They speak the same thing. They understand what each other's saying.
Yes, sir.
Now they decided they're going to build them a tower up here where I'm at.
Right.
If I don't go down there and confound their language, nothing that they imagine to do can be withheld from them. So we got to go down there and confound their language.
Yes, sir.
Now, when their language got confounded, see, it doesn't matter what dialect they were speaking. It was one language.
Yeah.
What you mean one language? They had the capacity to understand each other. That same capacity came back on the day of Pentecost. They were Galileans speaking, and they say we each heard them in our own language.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So in the realm of the Spirit, that which cannot be understood naturally is understood supernaturally. That's why we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind.
Yes, sir.
See, God gave us a mind to comprehend what he is doing.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Then you have Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19, verse 1 through 7. The reason I'm going over this is because there might be somebody in here tonight. You can't hang out and not won't be filled. This is a spirit-filled school. Speaking in tongues is not optional. Apostle, have all of us praying every morning in the spirit. That's what got him. See, that's what got him. I see him. Y'all can see when he's transitioning. Spirit come up on him. You know, y'all think that, you know, when he be hunching, man, that's a kingly priestly. I've never, you get the blowing. I can't come up here talking about, and what that gonna do for you? You can't mimic the authentic. You either got it or you don't. So ain't no sense in nobody walking around here trying to walk like him if it ain't by the Spirit. And the honor of every son is to carry the spirit of their father. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, read.
And it came to pass,
that while Apollos
was at Corinth,
Paul having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus,
he found certain disciples.
Now pay attention if you're online. He said unto them,
Have
you received the Holy Ghost
since you believed?
Since you what?
believe.
The indication is everyone who believes should receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The third person in the Godhead.
Yes, sir.
The one who is orchestrating and administrating everything. He doesn't speak of himself. He only speaks what he hears from the Father and the Son.
Yes, sir.
Read.
And they said unto him,
"We
have not so much as heard."
Now look, we don't even know if the Holy Ghost even exists. That's a good one to show people. Read. They said we didn't know whether there'd be any Holy Ghost. Read.
And he said unto them.
Paul said unto them.
Unto what then?
Unto what then?
Were you baptized?
And they said,
unto John's baptism.
Now, this is why this is important, because you must understand in every baptism, there is an agent.
Right. Yes,
there's somebody carrying it out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They said we were baptized unto John's baptism, which was the baptism of repentance.
Uh-huh. Right.
But John preached, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Hold up. But there's somebody coming after me. Who is preferred before me,
yes,
because he was before me.
Yes,
now that's supernatural,
yes,
because John the Baptist was conceived in his mother's womb 6 months before Jesus.
Yes.
But yet Jesus say, he that cometh after me is preferred before me because he was before me.
Yes.
So that tells you right now that he was the incarnate. It was God become a man.
Yes, sir.
You can't get around it. He was the forerunner to Jesus. So that they were baptized to John the Baptist, but John said, hold up, there's another agent.
Yeah.
I'm the preparer of the way for the next agent. When this agent comes, he shall baptize you. He shall, not me, not your preacher, not the deacon. He shall. Jesus, listen to me. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is Jesus himself that immerses you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a personal thing, because he wants you to be filled with the same power he had when he walked here. We cannot do what we do in the natural. In order for us to turn into somebody different, we got to have that baptism. Read, what did it say?
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them.
And when Paul had, no, isn't there a part before that? Where he was?
Then said Paul.
John baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Saying
unto the people.
That they should believe on him.
That they should believe on him.
Which should come after him.
That is on Christ Jesus.
When they heard this. They were baptized.
See, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid his hands on them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they too spoke in tongues.
And prophesied.
All right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, this is the rules of engagement for your tests. Make sure you study your quizzes, and there's going to be a study guide given to all of you. No reason for you to do bad on the test.